has joined. Has joined.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We are beginning with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudshabrichu ishkinte bitkilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu. Le'akta l'shem yudhe bavate. B'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'sok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohino alena maaseya denu kanane alena maaseya denu kananehu. Today we are studying the third aliyah of Parasha Emor.
Has joined.
This is Leviticus chapter 22, verse 17, and completes at verse 33. This is a total of 17 verses, and like yesterday, the number 17 relates to the word, Hebrew word tov, meaning good or goodness. Verse 17. Vaydaber Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo El Moshe Lemor Daber El Acharon V'el Banav V'el Kol B'nei Yisrael. We amarta lehem ish ish mi beit Yisrael min hager b'Yisrael asher yakriv karbanu l'kol nidrechem u'kol nidvotam asher yakrivu Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Leola Lirtson Hachem Damim Zachar Babakar Baksavim Uvaizim Kol Asher Bomum Lo Takrivu kilo liratzon yihye lachem. Ve'ish ki yakriv zevach shelamim ladonai yo he wahe adanu yo yo aheda wanu heyo. Lefale neder o lindava babakar o vatson tamim yihye liratzon kol mum lo yihye bo. Avere Shavur, O Harutz, O Yabelet, O Garav, O Yalefet, Lo Tachrivu Eile, La Adonai, Yo Hewahe, Adanu Yo, Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo, Weishelo Titnu, Mehem Alha Mizbea, La Adonai Yo Hewahe, Adanu Yo, Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo. With shore, with sarua, with kalut nedava, ta'ase oto uneder, lo yeratze, umauch, with katut, winatuk, with karut, lo tachrivu ladonai, yo he wahe adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo, uvartzechem lo ta'asu, umiyad ben nekar lo tachrivu, et lechem Eloheichem, Mi kolele I mashkatam bahemum bamlo yeralatem Wadaber Adonayo Hewahe Adanu yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo El Moshe Lemor Shoro Kesev Oez Ki Waled Wehaya Shivat Yamin Tahadimo Umiyom Hashmini Wehala Yeratse Lekar Ban Ishe Ladonai Yo he wahe adanu yo, yo wahe da wanu he yo. Wishor o seoto, we et benolo ishatu, yo mechad, wikitis behu zevakto da ladonai. Yo he wahe adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo, lir tsonchem tispahu, bayom hahu ye akelo, to tiru mimenu, ad boker ani adonai yo he wahe. Adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo. Ushmartem mitzvotai wa asitem, o tamani adonai. Yo he wahe adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo. Willo tachalu. Et shem tachi benik dashti betoch b'nei Yisrael ani Adonai yo hey wahe adanu yo yo ahe da wanu hey yo mekadishchem amotzi yo Erchem meretz mitraim liyod lachem l'Elohim ani Adonai yo he wahe adanu yo yo ahe da wanu he yo. This completes the reading of the third Aliyah.
Hebrew.
Now, for the English translation, and Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, any man whatsoever from the house of Israel, or from the strangers among Israel, who offers up his sacrifice for any of their vows or for any of their donations, that they may offer up to the Lord as a offer up to Hashem as a burnt offering. The same question we asked yesterday. Why do we need to have the word saying and speak separately? Why do we have to have this extra word? It could say, and Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, to Aaron and to his sons. It doesn't need to say speak to. Verse 19, to be favorable for you, an unblemished male from cattle, from sheep, or from goats. Any that has a blemish you shall not offer up, for it will not be favorable for you. And if a man offers up a peace offering to Hashem for declaring a vow, or as a donation from cattle or from the flock to be accepted, it shall be unblemished. It shall not have any defect in it. Blindness or a broken or split or warts or dry lesions or weeping sores you shall not offer up. These to Hashem, nor shall you place of these as a fire offering upon the altar to Hashem. As for an ox or a sheep that has mismatching limbs or uncloven hooves, you may make it into a donation, but as a vow, it will not be accepted. Any animal whose testicles were squashed, crushed, pulled out, or severed, you shall not offer up to Hashem. And in your land you shall not do. And from the hand of a Gentile you shall not offer up as food for your Hashem, any of these, for their injury is upon them. There is a defect on them. They will not be accepted for you. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, when an ox or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain under its mother for 7 days. And from the eighth day onwards, it shall be accepted as a sacrifice or a fire offering to Hashem. Why do we have to wait the 8 days? And the answer is because you must make sure that the animal has gone through at least one Shabbat and received the energy of that Shabbat. Verse 28. An ox or sheep you shall not slaughter, it and its offspring in one day. And when you slaughter a thanksgiving offering to Hashem, you shall slaughter it so that it should be acceptable for you. It shall be eaten on that day. Do not leave it over until morning. I am Hashem. You shall keep my mitzvot and perform them. I am Hashem. You shall not desecrate my holy name. I shall be sanctified amidst the children of Israel. I am Hashem who sanctifies you. Who took you out of the land of Egypt and to be a God for you. I am Hashem. That's the completion of the third Aliyah. Does anyone have any questions? you're studying Perkei Avot, chapter 5.
Hello?
Yes?
Can I ask a question about the eighth day? You said it has to at least go through the eighth day to have the energy of one Shabbat for the animal. So if it passes the eighth day and the 10th, 9th, or 12th, or whatever, it would still be getting the energy. So why particularly has to be on that day?
Because it should be done as soon as possible. You do a mitzvah as quickly as possible, as soon as possible, to show that you're let me finish, show your connection.
Okay.
And so if you wait till the ninth day or the tenth day, yes, the energy is still there, but it's not, you haven't demonstrated the alacrity, the desire to do it. You've had something else that's more important to you. That's the idea of why we try to do mitzvot as quickly as possible, as soon as it's possible. That's why you say the counting of the Omer can be done each night from sundown on. Why do you have to do it right at the beginning of the night? Why can't you do it the next morning? The answer is you can, but we strive to do mitzvot as quickly as possible. So the reason for the eighth day is we need to make sure we've gone through Shabbat.
Well, that's very well said. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm having trouble getting to the place I want to be, so here it is. Trying to get to the Perkei Avot, chapter 5, verse 3, and I seem to be having problems doing so. Okay, verse, paragraph 3 of chapter 5. Asara nisyonot nit nasa Avraham avinu alav ha-shalom v'yamad bekulam lehodia kama hibato shel Avraham avinu alav ha-shalom. With 10 trials was Abraham, our father, may he rest in peace, tried, and he withstood them all to make known how great was the love of Abraham, our father, peace be upon him. Again, we have no sage who's telling us this, but it's reminding us, because we're in the frame of Hod, it's reminding us that the test that Abraham went through was for a purpose. They were not tests to hurt him. Hashem knew he would overcome these tests, that he would have the certainty to withstand the fire. He would be able to bind his son, even though it goes against his nature. By providing him the opportunity to actually do the test, all 10 of them, Hashem was demonstrating his love for Abraham. Knowing he would overcome him, he gave him the opportunity to overcome him. It's one thing to know intellectually that you can do something. It's another to actually do it. This lesson, this spiritual teaching, is very clear. We need to do the actions that we think we can do. But sometimes we're a little afraid. Sometimes we're not sure we can do so. But no, if Hashem wants us to do it, it will get done. And by us doing it, rather than someone else doing it, we get the positive effect. There's a reason it was presented to you to do. So stretch yourself and do it. The fourth paragraph. Asara nisim nasu la'avotenu b'mitrayim wa'asara al hayam eser machot chevio ha'kadosh baruch hu al hamitrim b'mitrayim v'yeser al hayam asara nishyonot nisu avotenu et hamakom baruch hu v'amidbar she'ne'emar v'aynasu oti ze'eser pa'amim v'lo shamu b'koli. 10 miracles were wrought for our ancestors in Egypt, and 10 at the sea. 10 plagues did the Holy One, blessed be He, bring upon the Egyptians in Egypt, and 10 at the sea. With 10 trials did our ancestors try Hashem, blessed be He. As it is said, and they have tried me these 10 times, and they have not listened to my voice. What do you think this spiritual message is? It's teaching us that the process of counting to 10, the process of experiencing 10 different aspects, is a connection to Hashem through the Sefirot. It's a Kabbalistic teaching. It's a spiritual law. Going through 10 trials, experiencing 10 miracles. Every time we relate to the number 10, we are making a connection to the Sefirot, and through that connection to the Sefirot, we are connecting to Hashem. So what is the reason why it's 7 days in a week and not 10 days? As a student of Kabbalah, that answer should be clear. It should be instantaneous in your mind. What is the answer? Because with our physical world, we have 7 Sefirot. We do not have the upper three. Yes. Within the frame of one of the lower sephirot, there are 10. And that is how we know the connection of the 10. But ultimately, in our physical world, the connection is only to 7. That's why there are 7 days in a week and not 10 miracles. Does that mean that we're entitled or that we merit 7 miracles in our lives? We don't merit even one miracle unless we're willing to go out of our comfort zone. And then we merit within each one of the frames of reference of the lower sephirot, we merit 10 miracles. We also have another teaching which isn't really necessarily included in this paragraph, but I just want to bring it up. It says that whatever happened to the fathers will happen to the children. And so at the end of days, we will have 10 miracles. We will have 10 plagues. One of the plagues is the current pandemic. But what other plagues did we have? We are almost out of time, just a few minutes left. So does anyone have any questions? We would not have time to do the fifth paragraph. And while you're unmuting yourself to ask questions or to say shalom, the classes mm-hmm. today. Go ahead.
How do we know, and we really don't know, without doing a census, not this pandemic that was brought about? A lot of the elderly people have passed away, which could be firstborn, some of them, some not. I'm a firstborn.
Well, everyone is the firstborn in one lifetime or another.
Right. Just curious. It's just a curious thought I had.
You're asking which plague this is?
I mean, we've had smallpox, we've had, you know, other.
But those occurred earlier. What occurred in assuming the 1900s was the beginning of the footsteps of Mashiach, which is what mm-hmm. our sages said. The First World War and the Second World War were two of the three wars that are considered part of the footsteps of Mashiach, the founding of the State of Israel. So which plagues did we have? We could say the plague of Nazi, the plague of the Shoah. We could say the plague of the flu in 1918. So those are two that I know of. And there's been a few plagues that we didn't really feel because of Western medical technology.
And we've had SARS.
Say again?
Didn't we have SARS?
SARS was one. And then there was the one that was carried by the mosquitoes that happened in Brazil but didn't. You know, and just a little bit in Florida, but then we were able to eradicate it. So mm-hmm. there's another two. So we can talk about 4 plagues in just what we've just mentioned. And the pandemic is the 5th, but where are the other 5?
Right.
And if we really look, we probably would find it on the internet, but they wouldn't call it plagues. They would call it current events. The hunger, the poverty, the issues in Africa, the wars in Sudan, the war in the Middle East, Syria, Iraq. Could we call those plagues?
Right, that was my question. What is just illnesses, or are we calling crisis as plagues?
Well, go back to the 10 plagues in Egypt. Were they plagues or were they crises? The Egyptians, they weren't called plagues. They were crises. All the animals died. The locusts came. The river turned to blood. These were crises to the Egyptians. But the Bible calls them plagues.
Right.
What's in a word? Everything is in the word. How do you define it? So yes, we could probably say there have been 9 plagues and this is the 10th. But do we have certainty that it's the 10th? Or are we still looking for the 10th? Are we looking for the 8th and the 9th and the 10th? Put down a list of what you consider plagues in this world since the 1918, which is literally, I'm talking about the First World War.
Well, I need to define, in a biblical standpoint, spiritual standpoint, what is plague and what is crisis. You know, I have to figure that out first before I can go back and research.
And always go back to the Hebrew word. I don't really know the Hebrew word for plague, but perhaps we can look it up in this paragraph 4. Or we can go to Google Translation and type in the word English word plague, and you'll get all of the options for plagues in Hebrew. And do the same thing for crisis. And you may find that it's literally synonyms for the same thing. You may see, I don't know, but you may see for the word crisis that one of the words will be the same word that they use for plagues. But then you have to question, what is the difference between biblical Hebrew and modern Hebrew? Does the Bible use the same word? And should we translate the plagues not as plagues, but as crises?
Well, some of these that we might consider a crisis or a plague is some of it's like man-made. Let's just say they're damming up some of the river, which makes it we have a drought, a major serious drought, which was caused by mankind. Do we consider that? You know, some of these things that we may see that are crisis is actually done hand to man.
That's correct. I mean, we call it global warming, but global warming means windstorms, earthquakes, fires, floods, hurricanes.
At the hand of God in biblical times, if a flood came, you know, the great flood.
Exactly.
And then, you know, that was considered, you know, spiritually done, but brought on by human sin.
That's exactly correct.
So it can be a long study.
It's not so much that it's a long study. It's put down a list. Maybe you'll get to 20 or 30 items, and then you can pare that down to 10. Or maybe this is the 10th plague, the pandemic being the 10th plague, And therefore, we don't, the Mashiach is going to come.
Has joined.
But not until we recognize the peace and serenity that will come through the attitude and the methods that we are arguing about.
Right.
You know, will Biden pass this infrastructure bill that will provide all these promised jobs? And, you know, is that the technique that will bring peace and serenity to the world? Who knows? We will just continue to do what we can do, continue to do mitzvot, continue to strive to improve ourselves. And that's the process that will bring Mashiach. Continue to share the knowledge and wisdom of Kabbalah as best we are able. The classes today, we have an 11 o'clock class, which will be the Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, continuing our study there. Our 4 o'clock class will be the counting of the Omer and the Deep Zohar. And our 7 o'clock class will be an essay by the Uri regarding Lag BaOmer.
Thank you,
Hanuk. Thank you. Kol tov to everyone. All the best. Shalom Kabul to everyone. Have a beautiful afternoon and evening.
Thank you. Gadol.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.